Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the third week of hard teaching from Jesus that's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 10. These words that we read from Jesus were, of course, first spoken to the 12 whom he called as apostles, and were sent to proclaim the kingdom of God to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember, when Jesus sent them out, he said he sent them out as sheep among wolves. As they proclaimed the kingdom of God, there would be those who would gladly hear and receive the word of God, but there would also be those who would reject God's word that was carried from the lips of these men. Jesus reminded them that these men, the servants, are not above their master. And as Jesus was rejected, so too would they be rejected. But Jesus assured his apostles, those who received their word, they received Jesus and the Father who sent him. But those who rejected the preaching and the teaching of the apostles ultimately rejected Jesus who sent them and the Father who sent the Son. There's a lot of rejection going on here, isn't there? I mean, clearly this is no prosperity gospel, which is no gospel at all. Jesus spoke clearly and plainly with those he called. Jesus would suffer the cross, and those who followed after him would bear their crosses as well. This is true, but not without hope or help, as we'll be assured today. And we need that help and that hope, especially as we hear these hard words of Jesus today. Though they were spoken to the 12, they are spoken for us as well. Hear those words of Jesus again. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now hold on for just a minute. I thought that when the angels appeared to the shepherds at the birth of Jesus, didn't they proclaim peace on earth and goodwill toward men? And now, just 1 week after we've celebrated Father's Day, we hear Jesus saying, I have come to set man against his father. Now, you might be scratching your heads a little bit. And to be clear, Jesus is not saying that the fourth commandment is null and void. No, we're still called to honor our fathers and our mothers. Nor is Jesus saying that daughters-in-law should be at odds with their mothers-in-law, right? Yes, Jesus has come to bring peace on earth. This is most certainly true, but what does this mean? How do we make sense of these words and the words from Luke's gospel? I think it's pretty simple, actually. As Jesus called the 12 to follow him, he is clear that there will be opposition and hostility towards those who follow after him. And this will not only come from those who they go out to preach and to teach in other towns, to strangers as they were, but even in our own families. Now, Jesus isn't saying go pick up a fight with your family. He is, though, speaking plainly that if you follow after Jesus and cling to his word, you will find yourself at odds, even at enmity with those in your family. Now, truth be told, brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been called to follow after Jesus, each one of you. He has called you through the Word. The Holy Spirit, active in the preaching and the teaching of Christ for you, has brought you to trust in what Jesus has done for you. But remember that before that, you were at odds with God. Paul said that in your sin, you were even enemies of God. But your sinful nature shakes a feeble sword at God and says, no. But the beautiful thing about the gospel is that God doesn't kind of come in and squash you like some insignificant bug. He seeks to make peace with you. That's what the angels were proclaiming at the birth of Jesus. Peace on earth. Peace between a holy God and a sinful, rebellious mankind. This peace he brought about and accomplished when he died in your place on the cross. And in your own baptism, you were joined to Christ, his cross and his resurrection. And as such, you have been brought to peace with God. You are freed from sin and death that you might actually follow after him. But see, following him means crosses in this earthly life. It means that swords will be drawn, even in your own families. And I'm probably not telling you anything new, right? Following Jesus means hearing God's word, believing what it says about us. It means hearing the law, which reveals and convicts us of our sin, which St. Paul was elaborating on in Romans chapter 7 today. It means being honest with ourselves and with others and saying, look, we have not loved God above all things, nor have we truly loved our neighbors as ourselves. That's what the law does. It brings us to confess and repent of our sin. But it also means that it prepares us to trust in what God has done for us in our salvation. It means trusting what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. Trusting that he has brought us at peace with the Father through the blood of Christ. And by the working of the Holy Spirit in you, he calls you to want to actually love your neighbor as yourself. See, that's where the challenge lies. Loving our neighbors as ourselves. Loving our neighbors as ourselves should rightly be understood as loving our neighbors, wanting to love our neighbors in the way that Christ first loved us, even when we were his enemies in our sin. Remember how it was that he loved you. He sought you out. He suffered on the cross to bring you his peace. True and lasting peace. Right? Following Jesus means hearing God's word. His word rightly divided between law and gospel, or containing law and gospel. It also means that it also has been given for us to speak his word, first and foremost in our families, both law and gospel. Not to pick a fight, but so that they might also hear and believe what God has done for them in Christ Jesus. We may be tempted in our families not to address issues that Christ in his word clearly speaks of. We are tempted in our families to soft pedal the law. Now that might be with sixth commandment issues concerning male and female, human sexuality, and God's design for marriage. It might be about eighth commandment issues concerning gossip, slander, the way we think, speak, and act concerning others. Might even be third commandment issues concerning the habit of hearing God's word and receiving his gifts. But it always comes down to a first commandment issue, which is to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, even in our families. When we give into the temptation to soft pedal the law for the sake of keeping the family peace, not ruffling feathers, we're actually robbing our families of the true peace that can only come from Christ and his cross. That was the case that we read about for Hananiah, the false prophet, in the time of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had prophesied that there would be exile for 70 years, and that God's people should repent and turn to in faith to God. Hananiah? No, he didn't want to speak the law of God to bring people to repent of their sins. He was proclaiming peace. No, it won't be so bad. Only 2 years, and then everything will be all right. Your problem, not so bad. But Jeremiah, on the other hand, he spoke the truth in love. He spoke the hard things so that the people would die to themselves and find their lives in Christ. If our families are unclear on what God's law is, well, then they'll never grasp the sweetness of the gospel. If we want to love our families, truly love them, so that they know Christ and the power of his peace, well, you as parents have to speak truthfully about the law, about sin and its consequences. You know the other temptation, of course. The temptation is to hammer people with the law and then forget the gospel altogether. Well, may that never be. No, speak the truth in love. Right? Paul instructs Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Not just for Pastor Timothy, but for mom and dad in the homes as well. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Right? Speaking the truth in love for the care of the family. Nowhere does Christ command you to go out and pick fights with your families. Right? He loves them as he does you. He died for them as he did for you. So in speaking the law to the family, don't forget the gospel. Jesus plainly tells us that as you follow after him, if you hear and speak his word, there will be crosses. And don't be surprised that even in your own family there will be opposition. But take heart and have hope. Right? Christ bore his cross for you that you might be his. He has called you and set you in your families that you might even bear crosses for them, so that they may also hear Christ's call to die to themselves and to follow him. For truly, it is only through the cross of Christ that there can be true and lasting peace. May God grant it. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.